Lecture 17, Jacksonian Democracy, The People Extended.
As the United States entered into the 19th century, it had a constitution. And there were those who supported the Constitution and those who opposed the Constitution, both of whom came from liberal perspectives. Much of subsequent American political thought, not all, but much of it, evolves around discussing what the Constitution means in terms of the political theory embedded in it. Questions about the scope of the individual's autonomy, the liberties and rights that the individual has, questions of individual equality, and limits on government, how powerful government can be, the national government, what its relationship with the state governments is to be. This debate was political, it was philosophical, and it was also, importantly, judicial. Once the Constitution is firmly grounded, American liberalism adjusted to the new order that it created. The earliest battles here were between the Federalists and the Jeffersonian Republicans. Now, many of the battles that they had were over issues dealing with foreign policy, and those are beyond the scope of this course. But some of them involved the scope of the power of the federal government, the great debate between Jefferson and Hamilton over Hamilton's economic plan, for example. Two factors, however, limited the constitutional contentiousness of this battle between the Jeffersonian Republicans and the Federalists. First, the Federalist program, by the time Jefferson became president in the Revolution of 1800, the Federalist program was well established by the 12 years that the Federalists had held the presidency and the Congress. Secondly, when the Federalist Party died out, Republicans increasingly accommodated the party by inviting in those with former Federalist principles. So, as we moved to sort of a one-party system, the Republicans became a broader tent, to use modern-day terminology. For example, Madison signed the bank bill, the Second Bank of the United States, into law in 1816, after allowing the bank to die in 1811. So, the Republican Party absorbed some of the Federalist Party's positions. Indeed, John Quincy Adams, the son of John Adams, was elected to the presidency as the sixth president of the United States as a Republican, even though his father was the last Federalist president the country had. The westward expansion also brought new forces and issues of relevance to this course into play. We will look at the status of slavery with its constitutional and philosophical dimensions in lecture number 19. This lecture will look at the democratization of politics and the impact that had on liberal theory and its incorporation into American constitutional thought. The glaring political reality of the middle third of the 19th century was one Andrew Jackson. Denied the presidency in 1824, Jackson won the office in 1828, in 1832. He is the first president from the American West. He is, if you think spatially, he's the first one who came from someplace other than the Atlantic seaboard. He's also the first president not born in either Virginia or in Massachusetts. So Jackson symbolized the expansion of the people. In addition, Jacksonianism came to symbolize more majoritarian understandings of governance. Jacksonians and state legislatures expanded the suffrage to include all white men. Now remember, the Constitutional Convention, they left the question of who would vote in federal elections to state legislatures. By the time Jackson's and the Jacksonian movement has rolled across the land, the decision is in state legislatures. All white men will vote. This at the time was called universal manhood suffrage. It obviously wasn't, because it didn't include blacks, for example. But, and it certainly didn't include women.